Hello and welcome to the Not Quite Hollywood podcast. I'm August.
I'm Jamie.
I'm John.
Hey. I got it in.
Hey guys, how are you? So now we're going to talk about just kind of like some topics that deal with film. And I feel like this one is pretty relevant. But really, each of our topic kind of stems with this whole entire train wreck that I guess everyone's watching at the moment called Ghostbusters.
There's so many facets to it, though, because it's not just... Because my topic, we're not going to talk about first, but is unnecessary remakes.
Yeah.
But it's not just about an unnecessary remake, which has been going on in the internet with the backlash on this film. So many other topics have been brought up. Sexism, you know, and all these other things that...
And we're going to kind of like try to deviate from that sexism topic, just because... Personally, I feel it's baseless. I mean, we can come up with numerous films that involve females that have done great. Alien. 70s. It's known as the pinnacle of, like, a horror film and features a female protagonist. I wasn't born then. Mm-hmm. I wasn't around then, so I don't know about the reception of it back then. But really, I don't think people really gave a shit.
Yeah.
Well, the majority of Paul Feig's other films do really well financially and critically in their female-centric.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bridesmaids was known as like the comedy film whenever that came out.
2011.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't get a bad reception.
Well, no, this is a direct symptom of the internet.
Yes. And that is what my topic is just... Internet is now starting to have a very influential role upon film and film criticism. I mean, one of the things that's really interesting with this Ghostbusters is that this movie hasn't even come out yet, but it is known to be a failure.
Mm-hmm.
Just because when the first trailer came out, it got the most dislikes... Did it receive?
It is the most disliked trailer of all YouTube history now.
Yeah. You can't say that the production company in the studio is not looking at that.
Yeah.
Because they, you know, they use marketing and the reception of marketing to kind of change a film. Not even like when they come out with the first trailer, you know, people complain about something and it gets changed later. Fantastic Four is kind of an example of that, I feel, with the colors of the alien world that they go to. It's different in the actual film than it is in the first trailer. So, I don't know. It's the internet is so fickle. Like, it's... Directly the Katy Perry song, you're hot and you're cold, you're yes and you're no.
Classic.
A classic song.
If you're listening, Katy Perry, we love you.
I
haven't heard any song from her.
Oh.
You don't need to.
Oh, yeah. You just need to
watch her videos on mute.
Uh-huh. But the internet is just so fickle. Like, there's something that... A lot of people, you know, they will consider it good, but just due to being contrarian, they'll just say, this is shit, this is horrible, this is the worst thing in the world.
Well, the internet's the best example of modern-day mob mentality of...
Oh, yeah.
We're gonna troll this so hard that they're just going to force them to change it or do something about it. And something like Ghostbusters, you know what I mean, which is supposed to be a huge summer movie.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe the studios feels like they're backed into a corner now. Like, they can't delay the release.
No.
Now. They can't go back and reshoot everything. If they do, that's like admitting that the internet was right.
Well, I'm thinking about how much money that's going to cost. Yeah. Like, you're basically doubling your budget.
Yeah.
Okay, well, the one of the downsides of the internet, of these reactions, is the vocal minority gets a say.
Yeah.
Most, in the olden days, like, the people who shit on the film were like, people you knew locally. Now you hear some guy from Pocatello, Idaho, say he hates this movie, and then if he has a point that's somewhat interesting or they can spin it into a news story, it blows up.
Yeah.
And then eventually enough of those people come out and it's a negative impact. Not that this is the Ghostbusters example. Definitely, most people are not a fan of it, but...
I'm not defending this movie at all. Like, no, it does look horrible, but...
Yeah. And I don't think... I think, you know, these trailers are good barometers for the studios to really know how they're gonna this movie's gonna be received. There isn't a lot they could do to fix it now. Of course, correct no. even now. No. Even when the first trailer came out, I think in March, there was still nothing they could do to really, I mean, maybe make it tighter. Edit. They really are not going to reshoot this kind of thing. Post production CGI has already started. Yeah. So
unless they had a time machine. And they could go back and say, Dan Aykroyd, you were right.
Yeah.
We should have let
should have made it decades ago.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's like a lot of these people that on the internet, they go to like Rotten Tomatoes or IMDb. These are your average people. They have biases.
Yeah.
I mean, there could be someone who only watches like foreign art house films.
Mm-hmm. Like August.
Kind of like me. I watch Hard Boiled. It's foreign. It's damn foreign. It. But yeah, someone like me. And they're going to go on to Rotten Tomatoes or IMDb, and they're going to rate, you know, like Captain America Civil War is like a fucking 3. But within the context of the films that they're like, of course it's going to be a 3 because it's not the genre they like. Yeah. And so then when you just like increase that amount of people, it has effect on these scores.
Yeah.
I want to bring up Superman versus Batman, Dawn of Justice. Personally, it does not deserve what the 49, 60? Wow. I don't know.
Rotten Tomatoes? Somewhere around there.
Yeah, it's really low.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have Captain America at 90%. Now, for me personally, I was bored the fuck. Bored as fuck during Captain America Civil War. And Batman vs. Superman is not a great movie, but I was at least entertained. So I would rate that higher than Captain America.
Rotten Tomatoes was
27%. 27%.
Metacritic 44, IMDb 7.1 out of 10.
Okay,
that's interesting.
So, Jamie, you are more of like the Marvel. You like the Marvel comic book films.
Mm-hmm.
But does Batman versus Superman deserve 27%?
So here's the funny thing I was thinking about when you were mentioning, like this person reviewing this film now, this random person can give it a 3 because they didn't like that film. That's been the way it's always been. It's just we had these trusted film reviewers.
Yeah, voices. Yeah.
And some of them, they'll hate this genre. They'll always give them a bad score. It's rare they give a good score in this genre. Like,
yeah.
So to that effect, I mean, like, with... I don't know these scores are really indicative of the film's quality. It's up to you.
Yeah.
It's always been up to you as an audience member to determine if that's something you want to see.
Yeah.
And I think with with Batman vs. Superman getting 27, I think it's one of those things where, like, you know, that vocal minority, the mindset gets to the point where everybody has negative, you know, connotations in their reviews. And it's such negative talk that it, you know, there's something to that collective unconscious we always talk, I've talked about personally.
Mob mentality, more like it.
Yeah, but like, that can be real. That's a real thing. Like,
yeah.
It's almost like Ghostbusters 2, where if you get enough negative energy in the room, it becomes infectious.
Yeah.
And the same for a positive review. And I don't think that it's fair either way. I don't... From what, 90% to 27% for the two superhero fighting films? I don't think... That's a big stretch.
That's huge.
I would have think Batman vs. Superman would be like 50... You know what I mean?
I'm seeing like 60 or 70.
Yeah, but I've seen Rotten Tomatoes scores for films that I liked, and they're like, or not that bad compared to something else, and they're 0. I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. Yeah.
Oh, well, Only God Forgives for me.
Yeah.
Even like critically, it was just like
low.
Scenes, like a really bad movie. I got booed at Cannes, but I loved it.
My best example, a few years ago, I enjoyed the hell out of it. It was my favorite popcorn summer movie. And the only one that summer that I would go back and see was The Lone Ranger.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. Oh, yeah, yeah. It
was awesomely cast. Everyone performed really well. The humor was spot on. The last scene with the horse on the train scene with the William Tanner, it was amazing. It was a little long. My only gripe was they could have cut it down a bit. But that was one where it was mostly critics, actually, who came out and just lambasted this film mm-hmm. before people had seen it. And then the first wave of people that actually went to see it rated it fairly high.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until, like, the internet got on, and then, bam, all of a sudden it's got 27 or 30% on Rotten Tomatoes. Yeah. I'm like, it wasn't a bad movie.
No, it wasn't great.
But it wasn't great, but it wasn't bad. I enjoyed it. I sat there and enjoyed myself for 2 hours, you know, 2.5 hours watching this film.
Well, it's kind of like, I feel like with the internet, it just, like, it kind of works in a hyperbole.
Yeah.
Like, there's no in-between. It's either good or shit.
Yeah.
Like, there's no in-between. And another thing with, like, the internet and its interaction with, like, films or whatever and criticism of these films, when you go on the internet and you go somewhere, like, a forum, like, you know, like Reddit or 4chan, Tumblr, IMDb, and you see people who, like, write 1 or 2 page long thoughts or
yeah.
their thoughts on a film, do you read those? Do you think the average internet goer would read this?
The average one probably doesn't, but I usually will read a longer one because I figure they're putting more thought
yeah.
into what they're writing.
And see if it's
TLDR. Too long, didn't read.
Well, yeah, see? And I feel like the average internet yeah. goer is, they're not going to read that. They're just yeah. going to read the one sentence, Chris Stuckman.
Yeah.
Not to throw you under the bus, Chris Stuckman, where it's just saying, this is good, this is bad, and not really go into what works and doesn't work.
That's
what a lot of people are basing their opinions. It's just like a surface critique.
I mean, that's a whole other topic. I mean, the fact that, I mean, it's not even related to movies. The fact that people don't put enough effort into things anymore and don't read yeah. like they should.
Well, yeah.
But, yeah, your point, no, you're right. Well, like, most people that have scores, like, for websites, they'll look for the number, the numeric yeah. value, out exactly. of 10. And they're like, how come that got a 10 versus this got a 9? It's so asinine of an argument. Like, it based on this film itself, is this score based on what I said in my review? Whereas, it's not like apples and oranges. It's not apples and apples, like, because this one's a 9, this one's better than this one.
Yeah.
It's just, in this movie, in this one movie, this is what I thought of it. So that's what, yeah, that pisses me off about reviews.
But it seems like there's a difference between, like, a publication critique and an internet critique on mm-hmm. film. Because, I mean, then it gets to the point of, you know, shilling, being like, oh, you know, paid reviews, to, you know, write a glowing review in the New York Post or in Rolling Stone. But, I mean, at least they actually kind of go into these films and they kind of dive a little bit into it
yeah.
and not having this internet surface of just being, like, the number. And really, I mean, it's kind of like the audience, they dictate that, the importance of it. Like, just, like, them focusing upon those numerical values.
Tell me if you guys agree with me. So when I see a movie that I'm on the fence about, I'll read an entire review. Or if I'm passionate about the film, I'll read the review. You know, because they sometimes go into spoilers. I'll read it, like, lightly. If you were, like, pretty certain you're going to watch it, do you really care about the reviews, per se? Like, you kind of look at the overall aggregate of those scores. To me, that's when it comes into play. When I'm like already going to see the film anyway, and I kind of just see where it's aiming on the target, like, you know, as an average.
Yeah.
But most times I try to read the review because I want to know what people think, like, in a very broad way.
I typically only look at reviews after I've seen the movie.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
I only do it when I'm on the fence with a movie.
Oh.
If I'm on the fence about whether I go to the actual theater or wait to rent it or watch it on Blu-ray or DVD, that's when I'll go and I'll read a whole bunch of reviews.
Oh, yeah.
Because most times, if there's a movie, like when I saw Nice Guys trailer, I was like, I'm going to see Nice Guys.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But there's been movies where I'm like, do I want to take my day off and go see this in the theater and, you know, do that whole thing? Or that's when I'll go and I'll read a whole bunch of reviews, spoiler-free reviews.
Yeah.
Just to get an idea. Because every now and then I'll read one, like, say a movie might get, like, sevens across the board, and I'd be like, is it worth going to see? Then I might read one review where I can tell the person's like-minded in what I like in film. They're like, oh, okay, I'm going to go see it based on this guy, you know?
That's always the best way to find somebody you kind of overall agree with.
I don't know if I really could say that I do that. Like, even with movies that I'm kind of like on the fence with. I guess I would say that an example is Zootopia. Like, I saw it and I was like, you know, it's another Disney movie. But I was still slightly curious about it, and I saw that, you know, there was a few people that they said that it was good, and I was like, okay, you know, if I have the chance, I'll go and see it. Mm. So it's like, I don't know. I can't really say if, like, had I gotten that feedback, would I have not gone.
Well, it's never 100% either. Like, lately it's been, like, the Red Letter Media guys. They seem to have the same mindset on films. I'd say at least, I'd say 9 out of 10 times their reviews are how I felt about what the film was. So those guys, I tend to, they'll sway my opinion a little bit if it's, I should go see it or not, you know.
Like, yeah. Except for they like Force Awakens.
And that could...
a 9 out of 10.
And yeah, right. You know, in that kind of opinion, you know, especially when you hear your friends word of mouth, that could affect your overall view of it. I mean, people could talk it up, like my friend of ours, sorry, Seth, he talked up Zootopia, and I'm like, okay, I'll watch it, and I didn't see that level he saw it at. And so that kind of made me feel like a little let down because I was a little higher of expectations.
Sorry, Seth. But it was the same thing with like when like Frozen, he loved Frozen. And when I watched Frozen, I felt like it was I was underwhelmed. And I think it was the generation thing too, you know what I mean? Like a lot of the younger people are used to a certain film styles and how stories flow and everything. And to me, I was used to like old school Disney where it was much more violent and much more, you know what I mean, tragic and dark. So when I watched Frozen, I was just like, I don't get it. But I can see why he
Frozen. She got Frozen, man.
That's true. She got Frozen. And the villain got a slap on the wrist.
She died. She died and she was unfrozen. But I mean, that's another thing. It's like, word of mouth is, I feel, is a lot different than internet.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because you've got, you know, a friend coming up to you and they're saying, I really like this movie, but you have like a slight history with that person. So like, you know what kind of movies they like and be like, okay, so you see this in this kind of movie. Yeah, so I'm going to base my opinion around that.
You could say you like this and that movie, right? Then you're going to love this and that because you know you have a history with the person you know.
But you can get that rapport with a reviewer too. If you kind of learn their inner workings and their history of their filmmaking or film history, film love, then you would get that same similar rapport.
Well, in like the context of this Ghostbuster trailer, what do you think the majority of people did? They just clicked the thumbs up and the thumbs down.
Oh, God,
and that's it.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, like, and I guarantee you, once it started being a thing, purposely went there to hit the thumbs down.
Oh yeah, people were just seeing like how far can we, bring this down.
Well, I remember reading the comments, and some people were like, I didn't even watch a trailer, but I'm put a thumbs down anyway, you know, and it's like, you know, I'm not a fan of the trailer, but still, at least watch the trailer.
So, what if there is a good movie in the future that comes out, but it is preceded with a horrible trailer, and people downvote it? Or, you know, thumbs it down to hell.
Easy.
And then the movie, you know, it's super easy to do that.
No, super easy to give you an answer to this question. But go ahead.
But, you know, then it comes out in theaters and people are like, oh, that was just a bad trailer. Bad trailers do happen. And then they're like, wait, this movie's actually really good. Will they come to that conclusion or will they already have that perceived mindset of being like, this is a bad movie and it's... No matter what it does, it's going to be bad. Yeah.
Well, I felt like... Let's use Drive, for example. I know a lot of people who saw the trailer for Drive and thought it was another Fast and the Furious movie.
Yeah.
And then went and came back and said, oh, blah, blah, that sucked. But they didn't have an understanding of what the film is. But people understand the director's style and his visions, and, you know, like when I saw it, I was surprised, even though I knew who the director was because I loved Bronson so much.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I had an idea going in. But yeah, you're right. You can create a trailer can come out that does not portray what the film is at all.
Yeah.
And could instigate negative backlash or.
See, if that, this scenario you pose, posited, that happens. And honestly, it just kills the overall box office because the initial, you get most of the money back in the first weekend, definitely the first two. So those kinds of films will become like those kind of cult classics. Like, what? Maybe we had a wrong set of eyes on these films. You know what I mean? Like
Batman versus Superman.
No, that's pretty much like it is.
I feel like it. That is one of those movies. It was the first movie for that to occur to.
Warner Brothers thought so too. That's why they nixed almost everything they had for like people in charge of those films. You know, yeah, you're welcome. They're like, fuck. Oh, this is all this bad backlash. We need to course correct as much as we can.
Well, I mean, it just happened to be a different superhero movie. It wasn't the same old shit from Marvel. Different
superhero movie. Boring?
I haven't seen it. I can't say anything until I've seen it.
It's all right.
I don't want to see it. I'm going to see it for free. You'll get that code, right?
I'll rent it.
No?
I'll rent it from Redbox. And so you can see it and you can be like, okay. This isn't bad.
No, because my friend won't give me codes anymore. You know, he's just collecting them.
What?
He's actually going to use them. He's like, well, in case... Because, see, I think he's worried about his physical...
In case his Blu-ray collection burns down.
Right.
Someone breaks in and steals 3,000 Blu-rays. Sorry, Brandon.
I want to kind of bring up my topic now, because it's a good segue.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
We talked about reviewers and having a certain viewpoint. And I... You know, the question is, you know, should you kind of support these shitty movies? I mean, you don't want movies you don't like to continue because obviously they're bad. Yet, and you got mad at me the other night because...
I did too.
Yes. Yeah. Because I'd rather see...
I almost slapped this guy.
I'd rather see Ghostbusters than Warcraft.
Don't see either. My whole thing is I've been so angry at the people that go to see these movies when they know they're going to be bad.
Yeah.
And these movies keep getting made because they keep making money and people still go to see them. That was my problem, Jamie, is like, you're going to this movie knowing it's not going to be good and you're still going to go give them money.
And see, I'm giving the middle ground. I'm just saying, if you're going to go see a shitty movie, at least go see Warcraft and support Duncan Jones, who has made other great movies and not fucking Ghostbusters.
But that's my argument, because... As much as I love Duncan Jones, his first two films, Moon and Source Code, are amazing. I love them.
Mm-hmm.
But I despise fantasy films. It has to be a really good fantasy film for me to want to see it. I despise orcs and CGI and all that shit, especially in this level. Like, I've seen trailers, like, no, I don't want to see that at all. But with Ghostbusters, there to me, I love shittier sci-fi movies. Like, I grew up on them. I love sci-fi in general, supernatural elements. All that stuff is something I revel in, and like a lot of my like movies I watched last year for my challenge thing were shittier, older sci-fi movies, just because I like sci-fi. There's a soft spot that I know it's obviously a flaw that like I'm not watching quality films all the time, but it's sci-fi, so therefore I'm gonna watch it more than anything fantasy.
Okay,
that's
but
why.
But it's a betrayal of sci-fi.
Yeah,
and shitty sci-fi movies.
It's a betrayal of an old sci-fi. Classic, yes, but
you're gonna bring the industry down.
I don't think this sounds dumb because I always like internally give people crap for not recycling because it's like my part's not gonna make a difference, but I don't think my one ticket will affect them. It's gonna be bad. It's gonna make nothing.
Here's the thing.
You're gonna go vote Trump after?
Yeah, there's gonna be a lot of people.
I'll follow your lead. We do it.
There's gonna be a lot of people that go and see Ghostbusters to watch a train wreck, so they can go on to Facebook afterwards and being like, "That was such a shitty movie."
Vocal minority. I don't think there'll be that many people doing it. I really don't. People will go.
How many dislikes does that Ghostbusters trailer have?
You had the same argument with me with Batman versus Superman. You're like, it's not going to make any money. Don't worry about it.
It still made
money. It barely made money.
Ugh, it made barely. Enough money.
Barely making money is having 0.01 cent.
It made enough money to continue.
Yes.
Yeah.
It made enough money to continue not immediately cut all ties to everything DC and just give up. I'm kind of glad for that because Ben Affleck is the best part of that movie, and I think his Batman movie will be the better part of the overall universe.
Except where they're going to cram every villain in, they said.
Oh, that's true. That's right. I hope it's not like that.
But still, you're supporting Ghostbusters, and so everyone's going to be seeing this train wreck, so they can say it's shit afterwards.
No one saw Terminator Genesis or Fantastic Four except me.
And then they're going to get the money. But I mean, people saw Batman vs. Superman, but this company's going to get the money. And they're going to be like, well, we got this much money off this movie.
We must make a sequel.
So we can make a sequel and get more money.
To your topic, the inherent nature of internet negating a lot of the quality of this film will kill the box office. I think that first week will be a lot lower than they were expecting, even before the trailer came out, because of that.
I'll bet $5 it's going to be number one at the box office.
That weekend?
Yeah.
Because number one in one weekend could be pretty low compared to what they were hoping for. Yeah.
When's it release?
July something. Mid-July.
Yeah, that could be like $200 million.
Well, I mean, what other movies are you competing against?
I'm trying to think what else is coming out in July. I'm not going to look it up because it's irrelevant to me because it's going to do... It's going to have one of those drop-offs like Batman vs. Superman. It's going to be like, Ian, Harry Potter Part 2 for some reason. It's going to be like probably $40 million first weekend, and then it'll drop off to like 20.
That's still a lot of money.
But it's I think the budget's probably around 100. And that's not marketing. That's just the film.
Still, $40 million is quite a bit of money.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't think it's going to be that much.
So, like... Your topic is, are these necessary?
No, I mean, like, are there any movies that you guys would say you've defended as much as people hated? There are some shitty films that I have a soft spot for that I'm going to watch anyway. Whether or not my involvement and my viewing of that is indicative of the success is irrelevant to me because are there any examples you guys have that something you've watched that you were... heralding, regardless of the negative backlash.
Only God Forgives.
The Lone Ranger, I said it earlier.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And, I mean, I kind of count Batman versus Superman. I mean, I'm not heralding as a great movie. I'm just saying it doesn't deserve the criticism that it received.
So those are examples similar to what I'm trying to aim for. Like, I'm pretty sure I'm not going to enjoy it. But going with low expectations will allow me to maybe get some enjoyment out of it. Like, you go watch a shitty movie, you know, a shitty, like, Samurai Cop. I mean, that's, like, it's shitty on the level. Different. Yeah, it is different. That is different.
You probably already know Ghostbusters is going to be shitty.
Pretty much.
When I was hyped for Lone Ranger, I was of the opinion that it wasn't going to be shitty, even what people were saying. And it wasn't as shitty as... anywhere near as shitty as everyone was saying it was.
You were more surprised after
I went in.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't say that's the same as I'm going to purposely go see a shitty movie so I can say I saw a shitty movie and talk about it being a shitty movie.
Yeah.
And funding them more money to make more shitty movies.
It was like my mom saw Criminal and she came back and she said, that's not a good movie at all. And I was just like, well, I didn't want to see it before. Now I'm definitely not going to see it. Like, I'm going to pay money to see a movie that I think I'm going to get some enjoyment out of. And not just, like, the enjoyment of afterwards saying that that was a really shitty movie. That's really just, like, picking a movie up on the bargain bin or catching it on TV. Because then I'm not directly paying, you know, for that shit.
Right. And then you guys also gave me crap because I was watching it in a theater, not renting it after the fact.
Exactly.
I like going to theaters, and that's kind of what I do. So regardless, most weekends I want to go to the theater and watch something. And you might hate me for this, but I don't mind Paul Feig's movies. Like, they're moderately entertaining.
What else has he
done? Bridesmaids, Spy. He did The Heat, which surprisingly wasn't as bad as I thought it would be.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, I know.
Did he do Identity Theft as well?
No, that was...
Because that movie looked like shit. And
Craig Mazin wrote it, but who the fuck directed it?
I heard Spy actually wasn't as horrible, but...
See, Spy to me was like... That was the first time you saw Melissa McCarthy not all fat jokes and make fun of her and mean her.
I thought you were going to say
naked.
Yes, that was the first time you saw her naked, too. Yeah. But no, so there, I'm conflicted internally because had it been like a Paul Feig movie with like four other people completely unrelated to Ghostbusters, I'd be more excited for it. There is that part of me like who is mad that it's happening this way. You know, it could have happened 10 years ago when everybody was still alive and maybe or maybe not wanted to be involved and handing off the movie to like a new generation. Now it's too little too late, probably. I mean, well, definitely, actually. But
yeah,
I don't know. I get your points. I get why you're mad. But I'm still going to go see it just because...
Well, go see it, but just know that people like you are how Hitler rose.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Heil.
You mean Donald Trump? I don't want to hear any complaints about it after you come back.
It'll be my movie.
If I hear the words, "I should have gone to that movie," come out of your mouth, I'm going to, I don't know.
We can legit I'm slap going you to on the podcast.
Oh, I'll laugh you. In your face and being like, you deserve it.
But you deserve it, Judas. You
fucking deserve it.
I want to bring it up. I'll bring it up as my movie that week. Just because I want to talk about it. And I want you guys to ask me questions about it.
Okay.
That'd be fun.
I will.
What are you doing after the movie? Are you going to drown some kittens?
Maybe a couple puppies.
Because I feel like I already have some perceived conceptions on what this movie is going to contain.
Kittens have no
Even
fight.
Like seeing the Rockstar concert that they go to.
Yeah.
A sports figure is going to pop up in that fucking movie.
Or some stupid singer we all hate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Both. Both are going to pop up.
Probably. If Snooki shows up, I will kill myself in the theater. Oh,
God.
I hope she shows up in the theater. Enough.
Wow, dude. You hate me that much?
Because you're going to see this stupid-ass movie that you know it's horrible.
You're betraying art.
You are. Like, at least wait until it's in Redbox and pay one fucking dollar to Redbox. Like, ticket sales do not go to the theater. So you're not supporting the theater. Does. Go in, buy a fucking popcorn and a soda, walk out.
No.
And support the theater.
I'll go with you. We'll buy popcorn and soda and we'll play the claw machine for 2 hours.
Okay. Huh? We'll pick up a good movie to go see and be like, huh, you know what? I'm not wasting 2 hours of my life right now. I already waste enough. I'm not going to waste another 2 hours.
What else is coming out around that time?
Do we don't know.
Hold on. July 1st, The BFG, Legend of Tarzan, The Purge Election Year, Swiss Army Man.
Yeah.
Fuck yes.
Yeah.
There we go.
But that's not going to be around here.
No. July 8th, Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates, The Secret Life of Pets.
What the fuck?
Captain Fantastic. And Cell. So there isn't much, really.
So it's going to be number one.
What's
Cell? Oh, it'll be number one. The Stephen King book. That it looks really bad, like low budget.
Oh, God.
But Sam Jackson and John Cusack.
I haven't seen the trailer. So Ghostbusters will be number one, and it will make
a
shit.
Oh, it will.
It'll definitely be number one.
And there will be Ghostbusters
too. And see, that's the thing. It doesn't matter how much money it makes on that first weekend.
Oh, it absolutely does.
No. Because the way the headlines are going to spin it is saying that Ghostbusters is number one at the box office. And people aren't going to look into it.
Yeah.
Most people do not look into the comparison of it making $40 million and having a $150 million budget. So then people are going to be like, oh, it's number one at the box office. It must be good. And so then they all go see it. And then just
you'll see those little ads over everything like, Ghostbusters number one, 4 stars. And in like small print, it'll be like from the dude in the stall next to me. You know, it won't be any legitimate.
You guys have no idea.
Your mother, your father, your fraternity brother, your sorority sister, for the most part, do not look at Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, they don't look at that stuff.
Or IMDb. All they're gonna get is on their Today Show. During the entertainment section, have them say, well, Ghostbusters number one in the box office.
That doesn't mean much of anything.
And
they'll
be
anymore.
Like, here's Melissa McCarthy farting her way up to stage. And then
is she fucking her way up to stage?
Farting her way up to stage.
While eating mayonnaise. And then,
the biggest indicator of how a movie does success-wise in box office is the cinema score. people who go the first day to watch the film, what their score is when they get out. When a movie's B or B minus, it's bad.
But here's the thing.
Point being, Batman vs. Superman, number one that week, right? The first week it came out, it dropped almost 70%. The second lowest drop, or highest drop ever.
But I watch a lot of movies. I watch a lot of movies.
Sure.
Go to the theater a lot, right?
Sure.
This is my first time hearing about cinema score. I don't
know what the fuck I know what cinema score is, but if you search a movie on Google, it's going to give you IMDb, it's going to give you Rotten Tomatoes, it's going to give you Metacritic. It will not give you cinema score under.
No, it doesn't.
Because you have to search for it to find an accurate
score. I've never heard of cinema score.
Because cinema score, like, well, I was mad because Lone Ranger had like a B or a B plus at the time on cinema score when all these other sites were just trashing the shit out of it. You know, but nobody goes to CinemaScore.
But no, but CinemaScore is not something like it's saying, it's not front facing like, oh, this is amazing because this was an A plus CinemaScore. It's for industry saying this is how long of legs it's gonna have. B in CinemaScore, B minus is fucking death. Catwoman had a B minus in CinemaScore.
Then what's the point of CinemaScore for the average person?
Jesus, that's a horrible grade.
I'll agree this the grade is fucked up, but it's indicative, almost wholeheartedly, of how it's gonna last. A or A minus is really good, or A plus, A. But I'm worried now it's gonna make a lot of money. The more I look at the box stuff, I mean, the next week it's gonna drop off because Star Trek Beyond and Ice Age Collision Course bullshit shit will come out. But yeah. I'm worried it's gonna make money now. God damn it!
Yeah,
hate
see,
you both. Hate you both.
Now you're not gonna go see it, right? Because you're not gonna contribute to that money.
Don't give them
the
money.
More money.
Probably still gonna go. We do a podcast about movies.
Yeah, that's hopefully almost the majority of it's good movies.
Well, I mean, that's up for a debate.
I don't know. That's a whole other conversation about people who talk about movies. Like, the majority of it, just like with going and watching internet, you know, reviewers and stuff like that, the majority of it's just about movies that they hate. I guess that's really all people just want to hear is about people talking about things that they hate.
Most of the YouTube is that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I like that we talk about some things that we actually like.
No, and that happens. I mean, it's just, I know what you mean.
But
every now and then, it's fun to talk about a shitty movie because...
So...
Especially if I was, like, being cross-referenced between the two of you, like, good cop, bad cop. And that's a pretty fun episode.
Bad cop.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's bad cop, bad cop.
If I get beaten live on audio, I don't care.
Oh, so it's quite a ride. I mean, the audience members heard that. They'd be like, yeah, he kind of deserves it.
Sure. And I'll eat my words if it sucks, but I will definitely not say I should have never seen the movie because now you've set that precedent. I can't, but I'm not going to.
So.
But I'll tell you how bad it is. But, I mean, it's an unnecessary sequel, which is.
Which goes into my topic. This is going to flow really well. Unnecessary sequels and remakes in Hollywood. And a little bit about necessary sequels and remakes.
Yeah.
The ones that are really good, which are a handful.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Ghostbusters. I grew up with Ghostbusters. I even loved the second one when people were shitting on it.
So did I.
I personally feel that this remake, from what I've seen on the trailers, has none of the... tone, none of the feel, none of the soul, none of the anything from the original.
Mm.
Nope.
And it offends me to the point where I will refuse to see it.
Ever or just in theaters? Because the August is...
I want to say ever. If it's in front of me and it's free...
I'm not condoning pirating, but...
Pirate.
Yeah, I would pirate. Actually, that would be pirated. Hurt them.
That'd
hurt the studio
like
that's making
hurt
this.
Them.
If you guys pirate it the second weekend, I'll watch. I'll wait to watch.
Let's pirate it. Let's pirate the shit out of it. I never pirate movies because I always want to support studios and creative artists.
This.
But I don't want to support this, so I'm going to go out of my way to hurt it, and I'm going to pirate it.
All right, cool.
Yeah, hopefully the FBI doesn't get control of this.
You pirated
SEC.
One movie. So yeah, I mean we talked a lot about what the problems are with like unnecessary remakes and sequels, and I can't ever help but just see a giant dollar sign.
Oh yeah,
when I see it, because it's not done out of love.
No,
for the previous, it's not done out of any of that or
they
loyalty.
Say it is,
they say it is, but it's not. It's not, because if that was the case, then decades ago, Dan Aykroyd and Harold Ramis and all those guys would have been able to get a movie made.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There was a lot of walls put in front of them to make these movies, you know, to the point where they'd have to fund it themselves, you know what I mean, if they wanted to do it. And think about the last probably 10 years, probably longer, seeing things like RoboCop remade, a sanitized, dumbed-down version of RoboCop. RoboCop came out in a time where Paul Verhoeven was making movies that were social commentary using fiction and using sci-fi or whatever.
It had a meaning behind it.
RoboCop isn't about a robot that goes
it's a cop.
That robot, that's a cop. That's not what RoboCop
is about. Robert Cop.
And watching that remake, they lost that whole feeling. I mean, I know they tried to make it feel like it, but you can't. You can't. These movies are a product of their time. And they're a product of a culture and a just, you know, a feeling at that time that you can't recreate.
No.
And that's why they're cult classics. You can't really recreate them. Total Recall is another
one. Yeah, that was the one I was thinking of as well.
Just stop making everything look so fucking clean and sanitized and CGI'd and all that shit.
Predators.
Mm-hmm. Same thing. You can't recapture. I always say this about Predator. Those actors and those characters that were in that were so unique. And their personalities were so distinct and individual. Oh, yeah. You can't just, 20 years later, let's just throw a bunch of guys out there that kind of have muscles and make it feel the same way. It's just not going to do
it. No.
So that's one of my biggest issues with Ghostbusters is I feel, again, it's a betrayal to me, you know, personally as an art form in film.
Yeah.
There are films that did really bad or just didn't have the technology at the time, or maybe the director couldn't fulfill his full vision that only years later or decades later could be fulfilled properly.
Mm-hmm.
And I think of things like The Thing. John Carpenter's The Thing is one of the greatest practical effect movies ever made. The Fly, Jeff Goldblum, you know what I mean? That's Cronenberg.
Yeah.
Body horror. Being able to take body horror and put it into a film like that.
Just to be clear, too, for people who may not know, those two were remakes of movies from the 50s.
50s, yeah.
The remakes, well, the one after, we've talked about this before, but the remake of The Thing after.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh.
Which, again, that goes the other direction, where The Thing, John Carpenter's The Thing, is, not only a faithful, but it enhances the original.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't take away from it. The Thing that came out in 2011, where they hired a crew of practical effects people who did some amazing practical effects work, and the studio jumped in and said, wipe all those practical effects, replace them all with CGI effects, and the effect was no one gave a shit because what made The Thing amazing was practical effects.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this is a problem with studios in Hollywood just either not getting it or thinking that they're like con men sometimes.
Oh,
they're
yeah.
just going to slip this by. And hopefully it'll be number one at the box office and get us more money to make another shitty sequel to it, you know. And I used to go to the theater, like Jamie, I used to go once a week. Because there were movies that came out that I thought were amazing back in like 80s and 90s. There were movies that I used to go to see in the theater that would never get a national release nowadays. Like one of them we talked about the other night was The Ninth Gate with Johnny Depp.
Mm.
Oh,
Polanski movie. You would never see that released nationwide nowadays. Movie like that. It would never happen. But there used to be films like that in theaters that everyone could go see and enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
But this onslaught of just reboots and remakes and sequels and all this shit. I go ask Jamie. I go maybe 4 or 5 times a year.
Yep.
Yeah. Damn.
At this point, unless there's a really good run of movies I want to see, I might go more for this podcast. But again, I look at it as an artistic perspective. It's shameful what Hollywood's doing now, to me.
Well, I would say that our childhood is now horror.
Mm-hmm. Transformers? Growing up with Transformers and just seeing that abominations of these films, that they took all the personality, all the characteristics away, everything recognizable from what we grew up with, and just throwing it up there because nostalgia is going to be a big cash cow. And we're just going to make a ton of money. And it's going to go to China and make twice as much money. And
yeah.
It's just it's a slap in the face to me.
It really is.
And I know I didn't go too long on this, but if you guys want to chime in
on anything. Well, yeah. I have a lot to chime in on. It's just like about how, you know, it's using our nostalgia against us. Mm. It's, you know, being like, people, the average person loves something that they can recognize.
Yeah.
And we have all of these films being made to where we can recognize the imagery, but behind it, there's nothing. It's a shell. It's fake.
Yeah.
I mean, there has been good remakes. Another one is Dread.
Dread.
Yes. Dread is fantastic. I'm glad you brought that up.
And it was probably one of the best comic adaptations of a character on screen.
Yeah.
And no one either saw it or they don't want to remake it. They don't want, Carl Urban's like, which I love Carl Urban. Yeah. I do.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just
big
all about.
Big points for him.
Yeah, big points.
Because this is something passionate.
Passionate.
That he is. I mean, he's passionate for it. And he's just like.
And what actor would be willing to say, I'm going to star in this film and I'm never going to show my face?
Never.
No.
You know how rare that is?
It's almost never happened, I think.
Yeah.
Unnecessary. Who are you saying?
Gary Oldman as Mason in Hannibal.
I'd say, but Gary Oldman's very much a character actor. Oh, yeah, who'd be willing to do that?
Yeah.
You can't take someone like, I know you don't like him, Robert Downey Jr. You're going to be in an Iron Man movie, and the majority of the movie, you're going to be in the suit. And no, he's got to have his mug in the camera.
I need to.
And to me, it's like,
how much mask in the middle of a battle?
And how much selling do you have to do for your face? You've been in, like, you're like King of Hollywood already. You know, if you had a mask on a little longer, no one's going
to
fucking
flip. All he has to do is just voice over that shit. Yeah. I mean, really.
An unnecessary remake, but I think it was good on its own right. Now, I haven't seen the original yet. I've heard nothing but great things about the original. But Let Me In, the remake of Let the Right One In, was not a bad remake. Completely and wholly unnecessary. I'll give you that.
I didn't see the remake. I did hear good things from people who watched it. I'm such a fan of the original that I won't watch
the remake.
Because I don't think it's necessary.
Well, what is it, Chloe Moretz or whatever?
Moretz.
Yeah. I don't like her, so... Yeah.
Like, that's one of those things. Like, if you don't like them, that's hard to...
Well, it's like
she's going to be the main character, so...
Well, it's like the girl with the dragon tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
You watch the originals with the... What's her name? Rapace?
Noomi Rapace.
Yeah. You don't have to... They didn't have to remake that.
Unnecessary.
100%. Here we go.
Well, you're a Fincher fan.
See, that's the thing. You're it's Fincher.
Well, no.
Like, seeing him do his take... And, I mean, I watched the first one from Sweden.
Yeah.
I mean, it is good. Like, it is faithful to the book. But it doesn't have the Fincher style, where it's just like the deep shadows and, you know, that Fincher style to it.
But are they going to make a trilogy out of it?
No, they're not going to.
No.
I mean, I wish, you know, Fincher would, like, finish a trilogy just to see where he goes with it. But...
But remake, like, okay, I saw The Devil. Okay?
No. No.
Yeah, what if David Fincher was going to remake it? What would you
do?
No.
Well, no. Spike Lee remade Old Boy.
Which
I've never seen. I've seen the original. I've never seen the remake because why bother?
Yeah,
why bother?
Exactly.
The biggest reveal in that movie is given away, and you know it.
Well, they do.
No matter,
they do it differently.
Sure, but no matter what, that movie will never have as much of an impact when you first see the original.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
To me, it makes America, which we've done a good job already. But it makes us look even more anti-cultural
to
other cultures. To say that, hey, your film is fantastic. We don't want to we don't even want to redub it in English. We're going to just remake it to make it feel like it's American for American people. And
all right, huge rant time right now.
Akira?
Here we go.
Huge fucking rant time.
Or Ghost in the Shell?
Ghost in the Shell. How big of a budget do they have going into that film?
Probably a lot.
You know what? Spend that money to hire some really good artists. Like, a lot of anime done now is CGI out of, like, Taiwan or China.
Mm-hmm.
Hire some amazing anime hand-drawn people and put that money towards that and give us another anime. Ghost in the Shell. Don't spend on this whole, you know, fucking absolute bullshit live action. I like Scarlett Johansson. I saw the picture. She kind of looks like Mokoto, but...
Or, yeah, maybe cast type instead of casting an American, cast a Japanese actress that fits the role. I mean, like, that is the bad part of American recasting. Let's all make it all fucking white. Let's whitewash the entire thing.
Well, see, that's the thing. They say is that... It's this really weird cycle, I feel, where these production companies, they say... People don't want to see movies where there is like a multicultural cast.
Yeah.
Or they don't want to see an anime movie. Mm-hmm. So then we're not going to support that. So then people don't see those movies and able to say that, oh, no, actually, I don't like anime. Don't ever make an anime movie again and bring it here to the United States.
Well, it's because studios and the media in general... They know that they have the power to make people want to watch whatever they want to watch.
Comic book superhero movies.
If they put an effort, the slightest effort, into bringing beautiful Japanese animated movies over here and promoting it properly, people would go see them. And you might create an entire new fan base around it. They just... I don't know if it's just they don't want to put the effort or if it's inherent... racism or inherent just anti-culturalism.
There is only one studio that has Disney.
Disney brought Miyazaki over.
Yeah. Miyazaki over. That's it.
Yep.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Like, if I had an independent film production company, I would be like looking into Japan, finding those indie anime directors and being like, hey, you want your shit over here? I'll try to spread it.
You mean a production company like A24 or Magnet?
Yeah. A24, Draft House.
Magnet. Jump in that shit. Like, if no one else is going for that, and you can't say that there's an anime audience within the United States of America.
There is one, but it's not as big.
They're all at comic conventions.
Exactly. How many people show up at these comic book conventions?
Thousands and thousands and thousands.
Thousands and thousands. And those are the people... who were able to go.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
So you can't say that there's not... Attack on Titans.
Yeah.
One Punch Man. Mm-hmm. Cowboy Bebop.
Yeah.
There's a fucking audience here.
Yeah. Oh, there is. It just seemed like... I think because they're more... Like, they got their train rolling with what they get now, and they know it makes money.
Yeah,
in theaters now. So they're like, why even try to derail it to something else? Even though they know it could, they have the power to not derail it. You know, they can just keep it going. You know what I mean? Like for me, Magnet got me back into films big time. Like I was in my little, I guess, lurch of films because nothing in Hollywood was even interesting me. And then to find like Hobo with a Shotgun and find Bronson. And find Big Guy Japan, I showed you that. Finding all these movies all of a sudden through Magnet, I was just like, it was a resurgence in me. Mm. So it has to be almost across the board that it would for other people too. I mean, we talked about Nice Guys in the last podcast. Yeah. A movie like Nice Guys, if it came out in the 80s or 90s, everyone would have went to see it, and it would have been normal movie that came out in the 80s and 90s.
Even early 2000s.
Even early 2000s. Coming out now, the studios and the media have manipulated people so much to the point where that's not a movie you go see.
Because it's not bombastic. It's not huge enough.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, so, unwanted sequels. Back on topic. Really derailed there.
Unwanted sequels.
Is there a movie that you want a sequel for?
Nice Guys.
Nice Guys.
Yeah. I mean, besides Nice Guys.
We talked about this before. I want to see a Gremlins movie, but I want it done right.
I agree.
That's one of those films that were like, you know, riding that cult classic wave and done really well. And the second one was essentially a parody of the first one, but I love them so much. If they can do another, you know, realistic practical effects movie. And especially if Joe Dante was involved, you know, the original creator, like, that would be a cool sequel that could be done. It's not necessary, though. The first two are great on their own, if you left them be, which I think most movies should be. Movies that are, especially that are on their own, one movie good, you don't have to make a sequel.
No,
no. I'm very much actually against sequels, unless it's something that's actually either kind of fluff, or something that's just fine, there's a sequel because it, you know.
Sequels are rarely good.
Yeah.
I would have to say that Nice Guys is the only one that recently,
Recently, yeah.
That would be the only one being like, you know, I and as soon as it got to the end there, I was like, oh, I'd like to see a sequel of this. Yeah.
Well, the only sequel I wanted over the last, like, 20 years was the Evil Dead Army of Darkness.
Oh, my God, movies. I know.
But Ash vs. Evil Dead,
right. The
show, is so good that I don't need a movie sequel. I mean, but...
Oh, that thing still exists?
What?
Sorry, I did not know that it is still going
on. Not only that, it's better than ever.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Congrats. Like, I'm glad.
Thank you.
I'm glad. That's something I can support. No, I just... That's the thing, is just, if it's a good movie, it should be able to stand on its own.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I feel like I'm just like jerking myself off here by saying that the majority of the movies I see are good, and so I don't feel that I need a sequel.
Put your dick away, Joe. God damn it.
Zipping it up here. But no, Nice Guys is a movie that I just like, I didn't love, but I liked enough. It'd be like, I felt potential there at the end. But Ghostbusters, I was perfectly fine.
Yeah.
With the way it ended.
Well, yeah, because I'm the type of...
Star Wars, I was perfectly fine the way it ended.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's like... Like, I love The Big Lebowski, but I really wouldn't want to see a sequel.
Oh, no.
Not at all.
I actually thought of Coen Brother movies, and I was like,
yeah,
maybe I'd want to see a sequel of Fargo. And I'm like, wait, no.
Well, then Fargo's show, I guess, is really good, too. It's like...
Well, yeah, the show is good, I would have to say. I didn't see second season, but...
But I heard the second season was good, too. But the point is, like, there's ways to go around it. Like, Ash vs. Evil Dead, there's a way to make a sequel in a way that makes sense with the movie.
Yeah.
Or follows the movie, or before. I think Fargo's maybe before different people. I don't know.
Hollywood, stop taking my childhood,
stop
putting it on its knees,
and
then forcing its mouth open and force me to face fuck it.
Yeah. Stop face fucking our childhood.
Cut the shit.
Making us face fuck our own childhood.
Look at Jamie, they're making him go see Ghostbusters.
See?
Stop.
Hollywood's dick is right in his ass, bringing him right into the theater.
It's a mouth full of herpes. Like, they are popping. And yet, Jamie still has to stick his penis in there and contract herpes by going and seeing Ghostbusters.
He's like,
you know what? It may look really bad, but, you know, the suction may still be pretty great.
Herpes is curable, right?
If you come back with Ghostbusters herpes...
Right?
It's gonna happen. Wow. It's a great ending. Sorry, guys.
Herpes, we apologize for offending you.
Well, it's just... That's how extreme I feel about it. Like... Just leave childhood alone. Be original. Do something new.
August Anderson, quote, herpes equals Ghostbusters.
I feel like a better quote is just like, you know, face fucking my childhood.
That's a pretty good quote. My quote was fake. That was a real quote.
Yeah.
That was real.
That's the best quote.
Yep.
I would, you know, support a presidential campaign behind that. Movie studios, quit making me face fuck my own
childhood. What's your platform? I'm going to stop Hollywood
from fucking
your child.
Exactly.
Okay.
And there's probably going to be a lot of people who be like, hey, I don't have to see all those stupid unwanted sequels or remakes ever again. Thank God.
Jen and the Holograms. I'm not even going to go there.
You know what? I was actually kind of excited for that. I thought it was going to be different. Than, I thought it was going to be different than what it was.
I thought it would be Jen and the Holograms.
I saw
some kid... Coming of age teen drama.
Oh, Jesus.
That's one of the best examples of
wasn't Jem and the Holograms about like it's spies or something like that? There were also singers or
There were singers that went on like missions and stuff against the Misfits or like the other band of females that were the bad ones.
Yeah, it would've been fucking cool.
It was cool. Not
like I saw the images and I saw like the colors and I was like, oh, that looks really cool. Yeah. But Hollywood, can you please remake that and turn it to something good?
They tried.
Just make it something good.
Just stop. Make some new shit. Let people have budgets that make new ideas.
That's another topic. Yeah. Where's the originality in Hollywood? What happened to that?
I don't know what happened.
Sequels used to be rare. Growing up, sequels were rare.
It's true. Yeah.
And remakes are rare.
Now you just fucking expect it.
Yeah.
Like, all right, we'll see another one of these. But
yeah, what do you guys think? I mean, do you guys have any remakes that you liked that are maybe not necessary, or are known as heralded as a bad film, and yet you still have a soft spot for it? Let us know.
Where at?
Email us at notquitepod@gmail.com and subscribe to us on iTunes, where you can rate and review our show.
Right away during the podcast. You'll see it in the show notes. Do we have show notes?
Not yet. Okay. We do,
what the fuck's a show note?
I don't know what a show note is. Am I doing show notes? You doing show notes? You doing show notes?
We love you all.
Yes, thank you.
And thanks for listening.
And sorry about that outro.
I'm Jamie.
John, I think.
And I...
You're August?
Augustus.
I'm August, I guess. I didn't know that.